everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It is Monday, May 25th, Memorial Day of 2015. We just finished watching Raw, and it's time for us to gather here on Mega Powers Radio for the Monday night tradition, the Raw post-show. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We want to hear what you got to say throughout the night, and I'm going to tell you guys all about how you can get involved in just a moment. But first, let me tell you guys a few ways about how you can support this show. One way you can do that is to support us on Patreon. We have a number of ways that you can get your voice heard through that way. You can get some extra means of getting yourself VIP access and calling into the show. You might even be able to buy yourself a way into certain shows. Not going to say too much on that, but I know it's an enticing way to get your money. But we need your money to help this station succeed, because let me tell you guys, Blog Talk Radio ain't cheap, and I've been trying to support the station on my own for a while, but it's getting tough, and I could really use your guys' help, so it would certainly be appreciated. And in that sense, we could also grow, too, and seek other avenues of getting the station out there. If you perhaps maybe don't have the means of dropping some coin in our direction, we certainly understand, but you could support us in other ways, of course, by listening to us live here every Monday night on MegaPowersRadio.com. You could subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube by searching for Raw Post Show or Mega Powers Radio. Either one of those should turn it up. While you're on there, please give us a rating and a review. The more favorable, the better. And believe it or not, that actually helps us out a considerable amount, because that'll help us rise in the charts. More people will find us when they search for things like wrestling and Raw, whatever else is related to it, and that'll help us a lot. And of course, invite your friends to listen to the show. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever means that they like to follow their entertainment. Of course, now I got all the advertisements out of the way. Welcome everyone to the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We're talking about this Memorial Day edition of Raw. We saw a lot of things going down. Dean Ambrose getting arrested, yet through the powers of wrestling storytelling, still find his way back to the building, signing a contract, getting himself into the main event of the Elimination Chamber special event coming up this Sunday. Rusev turned into a whiny little bitch trying to apologize to Lana. Each one of the Elimination Chamber participants had a match throughout the night. It was an okay edition of Raw. I think they actually got as much as they could into a three-hour edition than do they do any other week. Want to hear what you guys got to say throughout this evening. We have the chat room already open, inviting all you to get involved in that. Shout out to the people who got here nice and early. We got Awesome Piano Man, Ferris419, Chaotic, and Wazili. If you are listening to the show and you are not registered with Blog Talk Radio, get yourself with that so you can get yourself a cool fancy nickname, hang out with all those cool cats in there, and I'll give you a shout out. Everyone likes hearing their name heard. If you are feeling a little braver and you want to actually use your voice, you can dial into the show with your phone. Area code for that is 760, rest number 512-7247. Altogether, that's 760-512-7247. You can also join in via Skype. We got Twitter, at Raw Post Show, Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs, thousands of ways almost, or just like four or five. But take advantage of them. Get your voice heard. We like hearing it. It's not just going to be simple little scrolling things across the bottom of the screen of what's trending. We actually got a little place for you to hear what the crowd for hear what you got to say. In the meantime, let's get the show started with the hosts of Mega Powers Radio. I've been talking all this time. My name is Mike Payton. I'm the station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me this evening, I got the leader of the Drew Crew. His name is Drew. Big surprise, Drew White.
Hey, it's the Drew Crew. What's up, Mikey P?
Thank you. Call me Mikey P. It makes me feel like I'm a youngin' and I could still be.
Well, listen, you're the one who produced the Drew Crew straight out of Surely, correct?
I did. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, I came up with the Drew Crew name. So
I don't know. You're not the first person who's ever said the Drew Crew at some point.
I'm the first person in the history of ever throughout millennia to say Drew Crew.
Ah, cool. Did you know that I Don't Give a Fuck was first said in 1791? Fun fact.
Okay. Also with us here is the host of Wago Hrantz and Unanimous Decision MMA, Addicted to Anime. His name is Mr. Steven Huego.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Hey, guys.
All right. And also with us is the president, bringing that one back, of Smark Out Moment and Fanboys Anonymous, Mr. Tony Mango.
I am the number way president in the world. I've been waiting for 5 minutes to make a joke about this.
No, I know. Number way president of hair gel.
Yeah, you're going to make a joke about that. You got to make it more relevant and recent because I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about anymore.
You said listen back to the beginning. Number one post show or interactive.
I don't say number one. I say the most interactive. Are you like fucking Drew where you think I'm saying attractive and you're saying things I'm not even saying?
No, you did say number way.
It sounded like you said attractive this time.
Oh, well, see what you guys got to think about Raw. We got a number of things that went on tonight. What was the number one thing that left you guys thinking from the show? Drew?
The number one thing I took away from the show was that Dean Ambrose was a lot cooler when he randomly left Raw and was seen at a subway station. Not like subway, just, you know, he had a camera at a subway and you saw him getting on it. I thought that was cooler than this, but yeah, that's what I took away.
Wayo?
I took away that I don't want to see Rusev on my TV. Too much Rusev tonight. That's what I took away from it.
Tony?
If you want to stretch something out, then go ahead and do it, because, holy crap, WWE pulled that off today, didn't they?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Felt like every segment was like 5 segments long.
John Cena segment, definitely.
John Cena, Rusev. I even lost track at this point because it was just like I'm turning around and looking on my screen and it's the same thing. And then what feels like 20 minutes later, I turn around, it's the same thing. And it's like beginning of the show is the same as the end of the show. They dragged out that story for 3 hours. You know, a lot of drag on this episode. Very tough.
And a lot of face panning to the fucking entourage, who I'm still not sure who exactly they are.
It's an American television show. I think it's on HBO, or is it Showtime?
I thought there was a movie coming out called Entourage. I thought they were doing that.
Well, yes, they have a movie coming out based on the television show that's been on for about 8 seasons now.
I didn't know it was based on the television show. Cool. Did not know that.
Well, if you had let me finish before interrupting me, I would have gotten to that point.
Oh, damn, son. I'm sorry.
You say you're sorry, yet you keep fucking doing it.
Nobody's perfect, Mikey P.
All right. So, big surprise. Our opening segment tonight was an authority segment. We had Triple H, Stephanie, Seth Rollins, Kane, J&J all out to the ring. They're telling Dean Ambrose that he has to the end of the night to get a contract signed for that title match. This prompts Dean Ambrose to come out, and we get a excellent back and forth between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, really showing an aggressive side for both of these guys. Seth Rollins not just standing there relying on everyone else in the ring to praise him. He actually was able to go in there and talk about how great he is on his own. Fantastic. Ambrose eventually charges the ring. Before he gets there, though, he gets a little backup in the form of a Roman Reigns coming down through the crowd. Prompted me to have this thought about what they're doing at Roman Reigns here. And I know you said a number of times, like, haha, Roman Reigns is actually getting over. And he is, but they're still going to do everything they can to push Reigns to get as much positive heat as they can. And what they did a lot tonight is they had Roman Reigns come to aid Dean Ambrose, which is just going to make the crowd like Roman Reigns that much more. So, and that's what they should be doing. I'm not complaining. I'm just something I'm noting that they were doing throughout this night. This set up a match, a tag match player, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins and Kane. And it's happening right now. None of them knows. Shut up, Drew. Dean Ambrose ends up getting the victory in this match with a roll-up. Seth Rollins throws a small fit outside the ring, and that's how that happens. So what do you guys think about our opening segments here?
All right, Donald, jump at once. So as far as you mentioning the Roman Reigns thing, that they're pairing him with Dean Ambrose, they're definitely doing it, but they're doing it in a smarter way than they tried with John Cena. If you remember, they'd be like, huh, Zack Ryder's popular. Yeah, let's put Cena with Zack Ryder. We saw how that worked. So it doesn't feel forced like that, so I'm enjoying it. I'm glad that Roman Reigns is finally getting some positivity because he deserves it. As far as the match goes, it wasn't a bad tag match by any means, but you've kind of, it's gotten old where the Authority end up booking Seth and Kane in some type of match against someone. I've seen it too many times. I don't know what else you can do differently with these guys. They've kind of exhausted a lot of their options by staying stale with the whole Authority angle. But I'm glad that Dean Ambrose is getting a chance and getting a push to show what he can do, because he was pushed to the side for a lot of last year.
I looked at the beginning and the end of tonight, and it's the exact same thing as what they do every week, except for they switched it. And they kind of took something that was one segment and they made two out of it. Because really, at the beginning of this, before they announced the tag match, there's not much different from what happened at the end of the night. So they took the match that would have been announced and done later on, did it at the beginning of the show, and then repeated what they usually do at the beginning of the show at the end, which is boring. And we talk about it every week that, like, these tag matches don't matter, and we don't really end up following them all that much because they're kind of boring. So, you know, you moved it from the end of the show to the beginning of it. Well, I still didn't pay attention to it all that much.
In all fairness, I had more attention to give, but that was just because I was not bored of the show yet.
I had the same amount. Like, I really didn't care whatsoever. And it's a shame because I like all four people involved. But I don't want to see another tag match like that. Like, I'm beyond sick of it. And it's fatigue from not just like a 3-hour show where we get to the end of it and then I'm tired of it. It's fatigue from being a wrestling fan for all these years. You know, if this was the first wrestling show I've ever seen and it was like they're going to have the match right now, I probably would be like, oh, damn, they're not even going to wait. Now it's like, I wonder if they're going to have a tag match. And I wonder if it's going to happen tonight. Oh, they're having it right now? Oh, okay.
I think what would
do all their shit online instead, you know.
I think what would benefit the Authority right now is some new members, because they have to use the same players every time because that's all they've got. There's plenty of guys that they could draft into that role before they turn baby faces. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro would have been a perfect couple of guys that you could have put in there. I'm not sure who you'd nominate right now because the heel division's a little thin, but they definitely need some new players in there.
Remember that time Cesaro approached Triple H backstage and he's like, yeah, I'm not a Paul Heyman guy anymore. I want to be your guy.
Ooh, and Triple H was like, never mind.
Yeah, they never did anything like that. You know what's actually funny? If you go back to the very beginning days of the Authority, which is like years ago now, which is hard to believe, you remember who actually was with them? The Shield.
Yeah.
The Shield used to stand out outside the ring, like, guarding the ramp there. So it's funny to think, like, how that came full circle with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that's what one of my biggest complaints with the Authority War is since they've really debuted as a faction, is that they haven't really evolved much, per se. It's just the same people for the most part. I mean, Seth Rollins,
yes and no. Came back. They used to be centered on Randy Orton. Now they're centered on Seth Rollins. That's a bit of a shift.
Yeah, but the thing is, Seth Rollins isn't the leader of it. It's all about Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And it's not so much as that.
It's all to get Seth Rollins over. That entire group is to get Seth Rollins over.
What Triple H and Stephanie are doing right now, they're acting as heaters. They're getting Seth more heat.
But here's the thing. And this is actually one of my biggest complaints about Seth Rollins as a champion right now, is I don't buy it him as a champion anymore. Now, mainly because he is whined, complains, and you know, I don't really blame
him. Oh, he's a heel champion.
No, I just don't really buy it anymore. I don't buy into the idea idea of the authority, just, you know, just giving him everything he wants. Yes, he has to prove it every now and then, but when he does, it's always fluky in some way, shape, or form. I love Seth Rollins as a wrestler.
How out of touch of you are you with, like, classic pro wrestling? This is old school heel. This is a whole old school heel. It's fantastic. It's just like Kevin Owens. He bails when there's danger. He takes advantages. He's an opportunist. It's exactly what he should be doing.
Kevin Owens doesn't complain and whine about it, though.
Look, you guys are taking a really different route from this, and I thought I was thinking this entire time this is all to get Jamie Noble over. He's the most entertaining one out of the bunch.
Joey Mercury says nothing, and he's more entertaining.
Yeah.
The important thing, though, with Seth Rollins is every once in a while, they will have him pull it out on his own. WrestleMania, he went out there without anybody. He didn't run down to the ring with J&J running down there with him. He went down there, turned that into a triple threat, and won it by himself. Kane said he made that into the Fatal 4-Way to test Seth Rollins. And you know, in a way, it kind of did. He still got some help throughout that one. Same thing with the cage match. You know, Kane himself attacked Seth Rollins, and he still pulled it out.
Plus, so he didn't have that detrimental couple of months where he won Money in the Bank and they jobbed him out. They didn't do that like they normally do with people.
The whole point and the appeal to Seth Rollins as champion, here's this douchebag, greasy little motherfucker who somehow pulls it off every time. There's no reason that he should be, but he somehow pulls it off.
And that then takes pictures.
That's meant to piss you off. It's working, apparently. You're just buying into the heel Seth Rollins character. You might think you're too smart for it, but you're not.
Week in and week out.
It's the same old shit. Well, I don't know. I'm actually just, I don't know if this is me just like worried about Seth Rollins as a character. Because, you know, a couple years from now when...
No, you're a mark.
Won't be along, I'm not a mark. I'm just worried more along like what will he be as like a... If he is a champion at that point, you can't predict too far into the future about stuff. But... I don't know. I just don't know what he will be in a few years.
Not going too far into the future. Going through the last segment, as Tony talked about it a bit there, we ended up having Ambrose come back after... Well, actually, I skipped over a segment of sorts. Dean Ambrose got approached by J&J Security. He ended up going to trade some blows with them. Cameraman got a little too close to the action. Dean Ambrose threw a fist behind him at the cameraman, knocking the cameraman out. Later on in the night, Dean Ambrose is approached by Triple H, along with a couple guys in suits and that camera guy, and leaves with a pair of handcuffs around his wrists. And we've seen this how many times before, especially with Austin. They did it with Undertaker before. There was lots of people. The person gets arrested and carted out, and just before the end of the night, we're wondering, will Dean Ambrose be able to get this contract signed? Oh, hey, is that a cop siren coming in? Oh, here comes Dean Ambrose. He once again gets the help of Roman Reigns to attack all the authority members in the ring and gets that contract, signs it, and the Monday night before the pay-per-view, well, it's not a pay-per-view, but we get our main event finally made official. Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins, WWE title match. These guys had an amazing, amazing feud in the tail end of last year. I was waiting for them to rekindle it sometime this year, possibly into the main event, which is what they're doing here. This is likely to just be sort of a throwaway since they're, I'm pretty sure, keeping Seth Rollins in place to be ready for Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam, but I'm still thinking it's going to be a very fun match, and I wouldn't be surprised if they keep Dean Ambrose into the Money in the Bank pay-per-view going against him too. But what do you guys think about the last bit of this and Dean Ambrose's opponent?
If they really wanted to make this as entertaining as possible, instead of him coming out with the cop car and all that stuff, they had three other options. Beer truck, milk truck, where he comes back brawling Luke Harper in that car. And it's just coming back from Extreme Rules and shit. I didn't really care about the segment. I do think that the match will be good at Elimination Chamber, though. And I'm really digging Dean Ambrose lately. I think that maybe they're finally coming around and willing to give him the credit that he deserves because he's over as fuck. But we'll talk about my predictions about the thing when we do Smack Talk later on this week. But as far as the build towards this, it's good enough for a pay-per-view that's kind of like a spontaneous one. And I'm more into this than I am what we were going into with Payback for Seth Rollins.
Any other thoughts from you guys?
I think Tony hit on the nail head on for the most part. I, like I said, I thought I'm going to be a bit more positive about this. I really thought that Dean Ambrose wearing a cop hat for the most part really made it. I thought it was funny, but I'm actually really excited for their match at Elimination Chamber. My bad. And yeah, you know, you mentioned before that like they had an amazing feud last year. You know, I bet these guys know each other better than almost anyone else on the roster. I bet they could pull out something amazing, and we just got to wait and see it. So I'm looking forward to their match at EC.
Well, you have any last thoughts?
Overall, I enjoyed the last segment. I love the Dean Ambrose character as a whole. I think there's a lot of money in it, and they should put a lot more stock into Dean Ambrose in general. He's probably the most edgy thing that they have, and the crowd just come alive every time he's on screen. And I don't think it's the smarks. I think he's just generally over with the audience because...
Oh, women love him. They think he's hot, and he can be over very much with the entire crowd.
He's not even gimmicky. He just knows his character. He knows the right facials and the right expressions. He just delivers every line perfectly. People are invested in the character. And it's a shame because if he was... a little bit taller, a little more muscular, probably be in the main event all the time.
Muscular. Okay. Moving on. That works. Let's try to not make anything look like I just made a mistake. Let's just put it on somebody else. All right, let's harp on this one for a while. Wago made a mistake. Hey, everybody, look at Wago. It was fucking him.
You want to know what would have been better about that? If you used that word harp and you transitioned it into a Luke Harper segment, as one might say.
It would be cool if I could do that if Luke Harper was on the fucking show.
Yeah, that sucks now.
Wago, you fucked up. That's what it appeared. And so will I later on.
Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Rusev coming out, and he is in full Bulgaria garb again. Like he's got the flag. His trunks are changed over to the Bulgaria color scheme. Still waving it like he's trying to swat some fucking bees, though. That hasn't changed. But his Titantron was changed as well. He's definitely back to his old ways because he's in there with a match with R-Truth, and it was a very quick squash match. He wins via accolade. And we go to another commercial break. I forgot to say, he came out, we went to a commercial break, we had the match, and we went to another commercial break. Really bad pacing. It was not necessary to stretch these out across this. Rusev takes a mic and he calls out Lana very politely, saying, Lana, please, come out, please. Lana finally comes out. Rusev holds the ropes for her, and very small, subtle thing that Lana did, but Rusev's holding the ropes for her, and Lana looks at him holding the ropes, goes back down the steps and walks around to the other side of the ring and walks in the ropes on her own. Very, very neat. Rusev turns into a sweet potato and just butters her up as much as he can with all these ways of saying he's sorry and that they should be together, yada, yada. Eventually he gets her to look like she's warming up and taking him back. And then he says, I just need you to say three magical words. I was wrong. Good luck with that one. Lana gets super pissed off, leaves the ring. Dolph Ziggler meets her at the top, and they share another kiss, and Rusev loses his shit.
Yeah, I was really glad to see Sable stand up to Mark Merrow, and I think when she finally does turn on him, it's going to make her really over, so hats off.
Is that the sound of a sweet potato?
Oh, man, I could go for a potato right now.
Go for some French fries, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I don't give a fuck about this feud.
I did think it was funny, though, and this is, I doubt, intentional, especially because it's Booker that was saying it, too. Before they did this segment, Booker was, on Rusev's side. And I thought it was going to be one of, the worst, discriminatory things that they said during this whole thing. Booker said Lana should have known her place. And then Rusev comes out and he's like, because you're a stupid woman and whatever. And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. I'm picturing Booker sitting there nodding his head yup, yup.
This is from the same guy that was just like, you know, the wives want to take all the money.
Right. So this is clearly something that Booker thinks, and it's like JBL is the heel on the commentary team.
I bet Charmel whoops his ass.
Yeah, and Booker is sitting there like, Lana should have known her place. And Rusev's like, you're a stupid woman. You should just apologize. And I'm like, man, if they cut over to the commentary table right now, Booker's probably laughing his ass off and they muted him. But no, I do like, sexist Rusev. It's a funny character. And it's good that Lana stands up for it because obviously they can't go the route of like her just being like, yup. That it's like horrible.
It's a shame though that Rusev has fallen now, and I think this is probably going to be the last thing we see him do is just a way to get Lana over and prepared for whatever she's doing with the rest of her career.
What did Mark Mero do after the Sable feud?
He wore shorts and then he became irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was eliminated in the second round of the Brawl for All.
Rusev's already wearing some type of shorts, so. Mm-hmm. I guess he's just going to be irrelevant soon, though.
That just means he'll wear pants.
Well, he lost his country. He lost his gold star. He lost his United States title. He lost his woman. The next thing he needs to lose is the rest of his dignity.
What if like the one thing that like makes him like just get buried was because he lost that stupid star?
See, they're not positioning him that bad yet, I think.
Well, no, because he still has to mean something.
Yeah.
For Lana.
So I don't think that there's anything really heat with the star. I think that they just, you know, they got to the point where they were like, well, we got what we wanted out of him, a John Cena match, and then another, and then another, and then another. And now we don't give a shit anymore. It's typical, we want one thing out of you, and we're going to, you know, drag our asses until we get it, and then we're done.
I'd say build him back up, but he's really damaged. I mean, that Cena feud really fucked him over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if you can. He's just that guy that lost to Cena four times in a row now.
It's a shame because John Cena is really winning favor with a lot of people for the United States Open Challenge and all that. But, man, the last couple of years between that Bray Wyatt feud and now this, he's really not helping his case.
Mm-mm.
I kind of see why some people really still have hate for him.
John Cena will go down as a guy that drew a lot of money, but he's not going to go down as a guy that benefited a lot of careers.
Mm-mm. No, and it's a lot of similarities with Triple H. Triple H beat the crap out of everybody that he was up against for years.
No, Triple H is putting a lot of people over in his career.
Yeah, I think that judgment of him is clouded because of the whole Stephanie thing, and the internet's got a stigma against him. Triple H is nowhere near as bad as everyone's made him out to be.
Triple H put over Cena. I mean, he's really the person who gave Cena his first really big win. He put over Batista. He put over Orton. He put over Benoit.
He put over some people. I'm not going to say that he didn't, but he buried a lot of people as well. And he buried a lot of people that were in similar ways to the way that John Cena has. I mean, John Cena, he gets these kind of upgrades to different people over now and then, and it ends up balancing back out to him being the winner. The same thing happened with Triple H. Triple H put over Orton, and then for the next couple of years, everything Orton did was to lose to Triple H. John Cena, he'll have like a good segment with somebody, you know, like a Sami Zayn, but he'll win the match and he'll do this and whatever. That's fine, you know, but it's a lot of the similarities. And with the John Cena problem, instead of the Triple H one, Triple H gets that bad rap for the Stephanie thing. I myself have never seen the parallel between that. I don't, you know, if you bury somebody, it's not just because you're married to the whatever. But with John Cena, he's not cool on top of it. So people are more willing to forgive Triple H for that. John Cena always has to talk about how he's going to lose and he's going to keep fighting, whatever. And it's like, it sort of spits in the face of the idea of it more. You know what I mean?
Like, no, Triple I lost H, you about 10 seconds ago.
Triple H says that he is going to beat you, and then he does. John Cena says, I'm going to put up a good fight against you. And hey, look at that, I won again, huh? Like, that's the difference
maker. White win! Race wars up, everybody! White won again!
Yep, so somewhere throughout that conversation we were having there, we passed 11:30, so I'm telling everyone out there, the phone lines are now open here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. We want to hear everything everyone out there has to say about tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw going into Elimination Chamber. Whatever you got in your minds, dial in with your phone, 760-512-7247. Chat room is still going nicely as well. Shout outs to the folks there. Five Times Combo, Awesome Piano Man, By God, Creep is Under Radar, Ferris 419, Chaotic, and Wazili. Moving on here. King Barrett versus Ryback. I don't have a whole lot of notes from this. This was just a little bit to help prepare us for the Elimination Chamber match for the vacant Intercontinental title. Ryback ends up getting the win via Shell Shock. It was a fine, solid Raw match. Nothing too exceptional, but nothing to really complain about either. Thoughts, anybody?
Could you see the difference with John Cena? I'm just kidding. That was fine. I like Ryback. I like Barrett. You know, there's nothing special at all, like you said.
Every time Ryback gets in the ring, I just notice how much better he is. And it's little things, and it's all coming together nicely now. It's such a shame that he got put in a title feud as quick as he did, because it's going to hurt his rise to the top. I think there's so much money in him as a main eventer, and I kind of want to see him come out of this Wyatt feud as the winner.
What, Ryback and Wyatt? I'm pretty sure that's done.
Yeah, they're not teasing that at all anymore.
Yeah, Ryback hasn't even been on TV the last couple of weeks. No, he faced Ambrose last week in just like a throwaway match.
Sure, I wouldn't be surprised if they fucking... Because they're still just selling the injury that Wyatt gave him, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to bring it back.
I think that's a legit injury. I think that's why.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a report during the pay-per-view that he probably got injured for real. And Bray Wyatt isn't... like really doing anything, so I don't see any kind of feud going between the two of them anymore. I think that was a throwaway because Payback was all built on throwaway stuff.
Well, there's nothing stopping him from costing him an Elimination Chamber match. Wyatt looks to do that.
No, he's just gonna have like a hologram appear inside the Elimination Chamber.
Well, he already screwed Daniel Bryan in Elimination Chamber once.
Oh, good night, Awesome Piano Man. Thanks for joining us tonight, dude. All right, well, one small note I have from this match. I noticed that who was doing the announcing tonight? Was it Lillian Garcia? Is she back on Raw duties now?
I didn't even notice. I noticed Styles. Eden.
Okay. Well, she announced Ryback as being from Las Vegas, which they used to say he was from Sin City. Small thing, but like I thought it was better saying he was from Sin City. Sounds better for Ryback. The big guy from Sin City.
She also announced for the Lucha Dragons, it was Sin Cara E. Kalisto. I was like, that's good.
We had a Stardust versus Neville match. Before the match, Stardust was doing his little thing where he's walking around on the side guardrail thing, and he crosses paths with Stephen Amell, the Green Arrow. What a awesome show that I think almost everyone here on this show is a fan of. A little teasing between them getting angry at each other. Whether that plays into something further down the line, who knows? I know Stephen Amell is a huge wrestling fan. The guy is in basic shape, so he could very likely do something inside a wrestling ring, and I think that would be cool. Any thoughts you guys have about that?
I think Stephen Amell needs to kick Sting's ass or ripping him off. Fucking vigilante.
Recently they've been getting a lot of people who, you know, seem like people like from shows like Games of Thrones and now Arrow, like just like random people like this that you can maybe buy being in a wrestling ring. I remember last week on the NXT takeover, there was that guy from Game of Thrones. What was it? The Mountain. Yeah, and he was fucking huge. He looks like sitting next to Stephanie McMahon too, and that seems like a pretty big deal. Like that someone like that sitting next to Stephanie McMahon talking to her at the same time. So that's something that you should keep out for in the future. But yeah, I thought it was cool that they keep on getting like people like here, people I actually care about, unlike these fucking Entourage motherfuckers and Kevin Hart, who I don't even give a shit about. So I don't know. I thought that was cool, but the Red Arrow is better. So I just wanted to say that. Cheap pun.
Okay, well, the Red Arrow is how Neville won this match, even though he was still heavily selling the bad knee that he's gotten. It's good strat, you know, like it makes him not do as much crazy high flying stuff, which makes people anticipate it more. You know, they previewed that Neville has all these crazy stunts. Now, like, hold back for a little bit, you know, make people want it so that when he gets better and he goes into this match against Bo Dallas, people are all that much more satisfied. Bo Dallas came down to ringside eventually during this match, and he attacked Neville once again. And I don't know if it was confirmed some other time, but they did tell us that these two will be having a match at Elimination Chamber. These guys had a really great ladder match. I believe it was on the very first NXT special. So I look forward to seeing these guys, see what they got. And I can only assume that's going to end with Neville getting another rub. But what are you guys going to think about this?
I really enjoyed their original ladder match. It wasn't a high-flying one as much as it was a storytelling one. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to seeing these two go at it again. Their interactions on Raw have been nothing but fun as far as I'm concerned. As far as Adrian Neville's match with Stardust tonight goes, it was short, but it told a story. I love the whole knee injury. We don't see that type of thing enough where a guy's just targeting one limb. And when he's smacking the shit out of his leg and teasing that he's going to pull off the red arrow, the fans were like, yeah, come on, you can do it. They bought into it. It just shows that old school styles of wrestling works. I'm looking forward to seeing Bo versus Neville. I think Neville's going to go over. He should go over. And I'm glad they found a role for Bo. He's the perfect guy to put up against up-and-coming babyfaces.
Thoughts?
No, actually, yeah. I really enjoyed the match. It was short and sweet and to the point. And, I'm just very disappointed Stardust isn't in the Elimination Chamber match or fucking R-Truth for the most part. But other than that, you know, everything was good about this segment as a whole. Bo Dallas, you know, keep up the good work. Hopefully they find something, like, actual to do, you know, going forward in, like, maybe the mid-card role.
I'd prefer something better for Neville, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I think this is just a filler for Elimination Chamber, because I don't think it was necessary for us to have him versus Barrett for the fifth time.
No, and he wasn't going to win the IC title, so, you know, if you take him out of that match and give him something else where he can win, some bathroom break thing, that's fine.
I would have preferred him in the Elimination Chamber, just because he makes a lot more sense than R-Truth. He has something ongoing with Barrett, who's in the match. And I kind of wanted to see a red arrow off the top of the chamber pod.
Well, that's another thing I was going to say. Maybe they're saving him being in some kind of gimmick match.
Can he do a red arrow off the top of the cage?
Sure.
I didn't think the ceiling was that tall.
He can do a 450 off the bottom rope. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, but he didn't jump to do that 450. I think it would be a lot more difficult to do a red arrow without jumping. Like, that ceiling is not that tall when you get on top of the cage.
He can fall with style.
True. That is a fact.
Oh, boy. We had the Entourage guys as our special celebrity guest this evening. Do you guys have any thoughts about these Entourage guys?
No.
I enjoyed one thing that they did. They teased the whole Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon thing, and it actually was kind of cool. They're like, hey, you know how it feels, right, Steph? Right? Yeah, getting your arm broke?
Huh? Guys? Uh-huh.
First time we see them there, they're coming out of a black limo. Who cares? Again, they're in the backstage with the Authority. Again, who cares? Then the third segment, though, is where they actually get kind of interesting. First off, they're approached by four divas. Oh, hey, Layla. Good to see Layla again with a different haircut. I don't know where she got that. Yeah, it was a little different. I don't hate it. I might get into it the more I see it, if I ever see it again. Emma was there. Really weird seeing her in a dress. Just I don't know. Something was, not right about it. But anyway, Divas weren't the important part about this. The thing that went down was that one of the guys was a Long Islander, and he was talking to his fellow Long Islander, Zack Ryder. And he basically just told him, hey, I got a plan. And for some reason, all the Entourage guys were like, oh, well, I got to hear what this is. And they go into Zack Ryder's dressing room, leaving the Divas. You want to talk about things that you can't buy. All right. I ain't going to hang out in a locker room with Zack Ryder when I should be going out with any of those Divas. Except for maybe
even chewed up. Yeah, I was about to say, what about chewed up Gumface?
What was the great plan? Hey, guys, I'm going to challenge Cena. Okay, cool. Yes. Do that.
Hey, good luck. All right, hey, maybe you could jump with the ring for me, so, you know.
Good. Distract him. Peace out, bro. Good luck with that.
All right, we're going to go hang with those Divas now.
Yeah, well, later on the evening, we have John Cena out. He's doing his usual never give up promo. You've heard this a million times. Even focuses on Kevin Owens for a little bit, and he says, many have challenged before, all have fallen. Again, heard this a bunch of times before. At one point, Cena tries to get a new dueling chant starting. He goes for the "Let's go, Cena, fight, Owens, fight," which I actually think that's kind of neat. I think that'll be a good dueling chant, but unfortunately it duds with this crowd. So shame on you guys. I think you guys should have picked up on that one. Eventually he puts out the open challenge and it gets answered by the Entourage cast.
No. Woo-hoo!
It gets picked up by Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder, former United States champion, hoping to pick it up again, answering this open challenge in Long Island. Significant thing, if I haven't mentioned it yet either, that this was the final show to ever be in the Nassau Coliseum because they're going to be demolishing it soon. And it's just a shame. You know, a lot of stadiums around here in the New York area are losing their spot. You know, Izod Center got shut down. They had their last show there a few months ago. Madison Square Garden is falling into a wreck, and that's probably actually going to get wrecked soon too. It's going to be rebuilt, but they're probably going to get rid of the one that's there.
I thought they did a whole bunch of renovations, like really expensive ones.
They do like a lot of expensive renovations every like 10 years.
Oh, okay.
But the people who own the contract for the building there, it's also built where Penn Station is, and they basically want to just demolish everything and rebuild a better Madison Square Garden.
Can they build Madison Cube Garden? Because I want to see that.
but that's basically being replaced by Barclays, which is a brand new center. And now Nassau Coliseum is being shut down, too. So that's a shame. Anyway, Zack Ryder versus John Cena for the United States title. Ryder actually gets a good amount of offense in this. He gets the Rough Rider. He does Broski Boot. Most impressively, though, he goes for a 450 splash. Didn't know Zack Ryder had that in him. But John Cena rolls out of the way, hits the attitude adjustment, and gets the pin. Entourage guys clap, raise hands with everybody, feel good moment, until Kevin Owens attacks John Cena after the match. Hits him with the pop-up powerbomb. Again, stands over him, holding the NXT title. Owens has some new attire. He's got a new Fight Owens Fight t-shirt, some new silver line shorts. Looks good. He actually looks like a main roster guy a little bit more. Happy for him.
I'm loving what they're doing with this feud. They're not doing it for the US title. It's about the NXT champion proving he's just as good as the US champion. The whole stamping on the US title and holding up the NXT belt. It's cool as hell. I'm surprised they actually had him stomp on the belt again on Memorial Day, but is what it is. I fucking love the Kevin Owens character, and I love that pop-up powerbomb. I'm really excited for this match, and the fact that it doesn't have title implications makes me think that perhaps Kevin Owens can pull off a win somehow. As far as the match goes tonight, solid outing by Zack Ryder. When he's given the opportunity, he does try his hardest, and hopefully something comes of that for him. But for me, I've had my fill of Zack Ryder, so it was nice seeing it once, but I'm not too hopeful for his future.
Yeah, shout-outs to a friend of Mega Powers Radio and host of the Wednesday night Dace Man show, Chris Dace. I know he was very happy for this.
He was marking out.
Probably not happy that he lost, but, I mean, how could you have possibly expected any other result?
Yeah, I got a Snapchat from him that was just recording that and it said, "I'm marking out, bro." Didn't get a message when he lost, but, you know.
Any other thoughts about this U.S. title match or Kevin Owens coming out?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was interesting. You know, just some random ass entourage guy just jumped in the ring for a distraction. You know, nothing out of the usual there. But, yeah, well, it was just good. You know, you don't see Zack Ryder very often now. So I could handle him in small doses at this point. So I thought it was interesting that they actually gave him something. You know, if they decide to build something off of it, because he did hang with John Cena to an extent. So, you know, if they do want to do something like that, go ahead. I'm not going to be calling. I'm not going to be freaking out if he doesn't get what that. But, yeah, I enjoy the segment, and I'm looking forward to the Extreme. I'm doing it again. Their match at Cena and Owens at almost did it a third time. Elimination Chamber.
Jeez. I like Ryder. I like
Mania, and he's going to be saying
I like Ryder, I like Cena, I like Owens, I like the U.S. Open Challenge, and I didn't like this segment. I thought that this was a situation where they fell short of what they should have done. It's Memorial Day, and you've got the United States Championship, and you're making a big deal about that, and that's just all you do? And you've got this Kevin Owens and John Cena match at Elimination Chamber, which could be fucking awesome, And that's it. He just beats up Zack Ryder and does a powerbomb into Cena. I felt really underwhelmed with this. And it's partially because of the Entourage guys being involved, because I don't care whatsoever about them. And almost out of 95% of the time, if a celebrity is involved in something, it tends to be like a downgrade. That happened again here. But, you know, I really would have liked to have seen something really be better. And I guess this kind of applies to the whole thing. This is the last Nassau Coliseum one, and that's their great show. McMahon came out at the beginning of this, and he specifically even said to the crowd, you know, thanks for being on being able to like share this with us over the years and stuff, and I promise it's going to be a good one. And it was like, blah. It's so underwhelming, this. And I was looking forward to this segment more than anything else on the show. And the fact that it wasn't anything better than that, that killed the whole rest of the show for me.
I don't know what you would have expected, though. You got a good segment, you got, well, a good wrestling match, and then you had Kevin Owens come out and lay out Cena and continue building to their feud.
Yeah, I really don't see where all this negativity is coming from. This wasn't like an amazing segment where it's like, oh, go out of your way to find this on YouTube. Like, but it was a fun segment.
I don't understand what you would have expected.
I would have been really like, I mean, I probably could think of something better if I really sat and thought about it. And if they really sat and thought about it, I think that they could think of even something better than what I would do. But I would have loved to have seen a brawl between Cena and Owens instead of just one move again.
Well, trying to establish Kevin Owens as this guy that's so destructive. The best thing he can do is lay out Cena with one move every week. You don't want to.
I need more.
Why have them brawl? You're just giving away what the match is going to be. Mm-hmm. The whole point is it's champion versus champion. You don't know what's going to happen when these two guys actually clash in a fair fight because Owens keeps laying him out every time.
He's attacking him unfairly. You have to actually like tune in to see where finally he's going to have an opportunity to face him face to face, where Cena's actually going to have a chance, just as much of a chance to get the offense in.
Go on, Tony.
At that point, I got the same exact feel last week, and I didn't need to see it a repeat again. You know, like, if you're going to do something and some kind of a repeat, it's kind of the same as, like, movie sequels. If you do the exact same one, I could just watch the first one.
You know, wrestling storytelling is different than what you got going on in movies, though. In this case, sometimes you have to go through a narrative that I'm not going to say is exactly repeating, but you're telling the story here that Kevin Owens is just attacking John Cena. I mean, could they have done something different? Yeah, maybe he comes out and this time he hits him with a fucking chair. I don't know. But then that would just be dumb. I don't think Kevin Owens should be using weapons. I think he should be just using his brutish bully ways.
What if, like, he beat the crap out of Zack Ryder and he hit the move on John Cena and then was going to go attack the Entourage guys and bunch of trainers stopped him, and that was enough time for John Cena to get up and try to attack him, and Kevin Owens runs away because he's not going to do it right then.
It would have been overcomplicating, and it didn't establish anything more than what they did tonight with the short amount of stuff they did do. Less is more.
And I think this was too much on the less side.
Too much less?
Yep. Too little.
Well, if less is more, then even less is way too much.
On a side note, you mentioned that the fans didn't jump on the Fight Owens Fight chant. I think it was more to do with this crowd wasn't exactly smarky. They were pretty much a markish.
No, Long Island is usually not the best place. Even though it's New York, technically, it's not like New York City. It's different.
I just got the idea that they didn't want to invest in Owens or like as a babyface. That's why they were refusing to chant Fight Owens Fight, because they seem pretty loud in general tonight.
They were singing the John Cena Sucks chant.
Yeah, but that's not even an anti-Cena thing at this point. It's fun to sing. It's like the Kurt Angle thing. Mm-hmm. Kurt used to be a babyface, and everyone used to chant it.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they were singing it. Like, they could have been getting into it. I don't know if it's really something that John Cena should have pitched to them instead of them just doing it naturally.
I think you have to do it once to plant the seeds. I think it would be dumb if he does it again. Then it would be kind of shoehorning it. But if he just did this on Raw, and then when it comes to their match that the crowd starts doing it at one point, or what the more likely thing will happen, they'll have plants in the crowd that try to get them to do it, then cool. There you go.
Didn't it kind of come off like that, though? Like, John Cena was like, guys, on Sunday, can you please not chant that I suck? If you don't like me, can you please chant this instead? Can we be positive in our negativity?
Well, it's putting over Kevin Owens.
I know, but it kind of felt like that way to me. Like, the whole idea where if you're having, like, couples counseling, you shouldn't say, you make me feel bad. You should say, I feel as though you make me feel bad, and do the I statements and all that kind of bullshit. It's like, guys, please chant Fight Owens Fight. Don't chant that I suck. It's making me sad.
Man, I wish you kept Kill instead of Fight. Kill Owens Kill would be better.
I think that's something a crowd will still say at certain points, but I think if you're going to market him, I think the Fight Owens Fight is more attractive.
Well, it's more friendly, especially given the circumstances with the word kill in WWE.
Can you clarify something right there, though? You just said attractive, not interactive. Right, Drew?
Let me check the replay, and it is the most attractive podcast on the internet today.
And they did make an alternative one as well with Win Owens Win.
It's going to be every possible word.
Well, it is. It's an interchangeable chant, which is kind of cool. I know.
But like, they should, like, capitalize on that.
Imagine, like, he's in a ladder match. You could do Climb Owens Climb.
I mean, like, bumping him at a restaurant. Eat Owens, eat.
Or he comes out for, like, a fucking meet and greet, and it's, hi, Owens, hi.
Chew, Owens, chew.
Got to do commentary throughout the entire match. He's walking down the ramp. Walk, Owens, walk.
Walk, Owens, walk. Oh.
What's up, Bulbasaur?
Our Divas match of the evening. We had Tamina squaring off against Paige. We had the Bellas pleasing us on commentary. Tamina gets the victory after a distraction from Naomi, who is at the side of the ring with her. I wish I had more to say. This is just a clusterfuck right now. Paige was really loved by the crowd, so I have that much to say at least. Tamina's honestly not bad. I wish she just had more to her than just she just stood there and glowered at everybody.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened in this segment. I wasn't paying attention. And that's because they've not given me a reason to pay attention. I've not been given a reason to invest in any of the characters, considering they are all having an identity crisis on who's babyface and who's heel. So, fuck them. I'm not going to care if they don't care.
Oh, and Tamina's music was terrible.
I actually didn't notice, but is she still using that Tamina thing? Or did they change it?
I don't remember hearing that.
I think they just played. I think they just played Samoa Joe's new theme backwards.
This feud is just, I don't care. I mean, they bring Paige back, and I'm supposed to be excited. Don't care about Paige anymore either. Mm-hmm. Give me Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch again. I'll watch that.
Give me Charlotte.
Or Bailey. Or Alexa Bliss, because she's adorable.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Give me anyone.
But she hangs out with a bunch of losers.
You know, they're calling their team BAMF now.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Blake Alexa Murphy faction or something.
You know, when you look at them, it's so fucking odd. It's like, look at that cute girl. What the fuck is the other side of her? Ugh, she's got two growths coming out of her hands.
They should really market it like that, though. Get everybody jealous. It's the way to do it. Nobody's jealous over anything going on in this feud, though. So let's move on to what I'm sure was Tony's favorite segment of this evening. We had the New Day coming out.
Woo!
My favorite person to watch clap is Big E. The way he takes those long steps as he's walking down the ramp and clapping, and like the big bug eyes he makes. He gets so into the clapping. It's just so fun to watch.
And his face and neck kind of jiggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're missing out on, though? He used to do that clap with all the powder. He needs to do that still.
Yeah, and you could have Xavier Woods clapping and then start coughing because of the clouds. He could sell that. They should do it.
New Day rocks.
They don't suck yesterday. New Day rocks.
Well, they were coming out and complaining about how unfair it was that they're going into this Elimination Chamber match. And who comes out by Kane? Had to be Kane.
It's got to be the Kane.
Thanks, Drew. I already made that joke. No problem. Letting them know that, hey, that's fair, but this isn't fair, and puts them into a match against all the teams that they're facing at that Elimination Chamber match in a handicap match. 10-on-3. That is unfair. This was such a mess, and ended as you probably expected to. All the teams running into the ring, fighting each other. I think they announced that New Day won via DQ. I don't know how they came to that logical conclusion, but I believe Cesaro and Kid were the last team standing at the end of the segment, so cool for them. Unfortunately, that means I'm probably not expecting them to win this match. But, wow. All these teams coming together, and yet no room for Harper and Rowan. That's a shame.
I love how Kane was just like, hey guys, wouldn't it be funny if I was a babyface? Yeah, fuck you guys.
I love this. I not only loved how my fantasy league team got some awesome points, but I also loved at the end, I didn't see them do this before. Maybe this is the first time they've done it. Maybe I just haven't paid attention, but how Tyson Kidd and Cesaro were celebrating at the end. Fucking Tyson Kidd is standing up and whatever, and Cesaro just dives underneath him and gets back up and starts doing that boom, 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 boom kind of thing. And fucking Tyson Kidd started doing it too.
Yeah, that was an awesome little thing they did together.
They were celebrating like motherfuckers.
and the whole running around thing like that and going, no, it's an homage to the Steiner brothers. They used to do that.
Huh. I don't remember too much about the old Steiner brothers.
Weirdest thing about Cesaro and Kidd is that fucking Cesaro occasionally will just Hadouken Kidd and Kidd will spin down the ring.
Yeah, I was about to say their mannerisms as they're coming down and their entrance and everything. These guys are such a developed tag team, and yet they're still just missing like so many essential pieces, like
a name.
They actually have like some fairly matching ring gear now, so they just need a name and one solid finishing move, because they got that like spin and a number of other good double team moves, but they don't have that one solid tag team finishing move.
I like the spin dropkick thing. It doesn't feel like a finisher to me.
No, it's not.
The setup move.
Yeah.
I don't think they use it as a finisher.
They've scored pinfalls with it before.
Yeah, but not like pay-per-view matches or anything.
Hmm.
Just Jack LOD's move.
Well, Ascension will be pissed.
Any other thoughts about this?
New Day rocks.
Yeah, they do rock.
New Day rocks. We got a call from 760. Let's see what they got to say. Caller from 760, you're live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Kurt.
What?
This is Robert Bail Bonds?
What's shaking, dude? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
Really screwing things up.
I agree.
That's something they recorded on it for me a couple of years ago.
That was a long time ago then. Why are you so hold up about it?
Dude, you need to do better quality for this. It's funnier if we can hear it.
Yeah, dude, we're like really stretching to hear what you're saying here. We want to like be in this and have fun, but figure out a better way to route this soundboard to your phone calls. It sounded like he said okay.
I'm all aboard with talking to Herbert's plant, but you know, if we're gonna do the soundboard thing, it's got to be more than just
I never checked out that episode of Old Talk Show, so I've got no fucking reference.
Oh, you missed it. It was amazing.
You're talking to my plant. Oh gosh. All right, guys. I think that's gonna wrap up all the talk for Raw. We're gonna have a short show tonight. So we're going to go ahead into the last thing we got to say about this. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of tonight's Raw, the worst part of tonight's Raw, and what we thought was the most terrible part of the show that everyone should do their best to avoid. So let's ask these guys what the good, the bad, and the ugly is. First off, Drew.
See, my good will probably have to be Dean Ambrose coming out with the police cap. I really, really thought that was funny for the most part. My ugly is going to have to be... Wait, I said bad. My bad. My bad will probably maybe have to be the Divas match, mainly because, you know, everything kept my attention and, you know, NXT is NXT and a lot better than what we have on the main roster. So there's that. My ugly, this is going to be an easy one. This might be the easiest one we've had yet. It's going to be Emma and her chewed up gum face. That is all.
Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good has to go to pretty much the entire John Cena thing. The match, the segments, even the promo was fun. So, good stuff in my book. As far as bad goes, I'm going to give it to the Divas just because it was a fucking clusterfuck. And my ugly, I'm going to give it to the Entourage guys.
Oh, but they're so handsome. Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
I guess my good is going to be the Rusev segment because it was the only thing that really caught my attention throughout the entire night. And it was kind of funny to see Rusev act like that. You know, the whole like, oh, but I love you, baby. Just, you know, make me sandwich or something. And it was like, you're a dick. The bad, I'm going to have to give a tie to the Entourage people and the cops and the cameraman. Potential pick for one of the worst supporting characters of the year. Those cops were terrible. Mm. They're reading the Miranda rights, and it's like, you understand what I'm saying, Dean?
Know what I'm saying,
by the way,
Dean?
Can you sign this autograph?
And terrible. He couldn't pronounce his S's properly. What the fuck was wrong with him?
Mm. Not a fan of those. Not a fan of the Entourage people either, because those backstage segments were really bad. Especially the one with the Triple H and Stephanie. They dragged that fucker out, too. And that's actually going to lead me to the ugly. Everything dragged on this episode. Nothing felt like it was like the one short segment thing. Even the backstage things were like, I don't know, they felt like they were like 6 minutes apiece. Just not into this episode tonight.
All right, well, I'll tell you guys what I got in my mind. My good. I'm actually going to give this to one little random thing. When J&J Security was approaching Dean Ambrose and they faked him out with the contract, Jamie Noble's like, ha ha, looks like you're not going to be signing the contract, maybe. Just the way he said maybe.
Yeah, that was awkward, wasn't it?
It was really funny. I don't know. It really like stuck out to me. My bad. I am going to give to pretty much everything involving these Entourage guys. Sad thing is, I actually kind of liked Entourage. It's not a terrible show. It's a lot better than half the shit that's out on TV these days. But they just didn't seem like they had any place on the show, and I did not believe them ditching Divas to hang out with Zack Ryder, of all people.
It didn't help that they sounded like they were reading lines, either.
Well, pretty much everybody does these days.
Yeah, but they were particularly bad.
Indeed. And my ugly, I'm going to give to these opening authority segments, because they just keep happening, and they just keep happening, and I'm going to start giving them the ugly, hopefully that they'll stop. Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap us up for the show tonight. Just going to give each host here an opportunity to tell you a little bit about other things they got going on outside of the Raw post show. If you dig hearing them here, you might dig what they got going on in these other places. So, Drew, what do you got to tell the world about?
Well, let's see. You can follow the Drew Crew on Twitter, which is Drew's at Drewsive White. So you can go there to see me do nothing because I don't tweet that much nowadays. And then you go to my YouTube, which is Mick Frickin' Duncan. We don't know how to spell that still, but we are getting onto that as we speak. And you can see me post nothing there as well. So, yep, that's everything you want to see and hear from me, which is me doing nothing. So do that.
All right, Wago.
That's the only Drew experience where he'll be doing nothing, so check it out. Exactly. As far as all my projects go, I've got a lot in there going on. Addicted to Anime, UDMMA, Wago Rants. The best way to keep connected is to follow me at Steve Wago. That's STEWAGO.
All right, Tony.
Stu Ego. Still every time I see that. So, if you are a geek culture person and you want to know what we think about all the nerdy topics that we're fond of, go to fanboysanonymous.com and check out not only our articles, but our podcast. You can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, and youtube.com/fanboysanonymous. Listen to the All Talk Show. You can find that on those same three avenues, but .com/All Talk Show. And we do those live on Megapowers Radio randomly. So if you follow the Facebook account, you'll be able to get a little heads up and join us in on the fun. And if you want to have more wrestling stuff, then go to smarkoutmoment.com. And of course, iTunes, Stitcher, and youtube.com/smarkoutmoment for the podcast side of things there.
All right, folks, if you enjoyed this show, there's a number of ways you could support us. The most helpful way that you could support us is by finding us on Patreon. Just head to Patreon, search for Mega Powers Radio, and you will find us on there. We have a number of different levels of how you could support us. Even as little as $1 will help this station survive and thrive. So if you have some spare change and you really enjoy what we're doing here, please help us so we can continue and help the burden of paying for this station come off of our hands a little bit. If you don't have the extra cash, though, you can support us by, of course, joining us live every single Monday here at megapowersradio.com. If you're too busy on a Monday night, though, there's a number of ways to still listen to the show in the archive form. You could subscribe to us on iTunes, you could subscribe to us on Stitcher, and you can subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Once again, you can search for Raw Post Show or Mega Powers Radio. Either one of those should pull up the show for you there. While you're finding us on there and you really want to help us out, leave a rating or a review. Helps other people find us. And of course, invite other people to listen to the show as well. Until next week, folks, I am here with Drew White, Tony Mango, and Stephen Wago. My name is Mike Payton, and we'll see y'all next time on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Stay classy.